Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. On today's program, rather than speaking about one specific subject, we'd just like to share some thoughts about aspects of the current culture war. If you're not familiar with the term, Wikipedia defines a culture war as the conflict between traditionalist or conservative values and social democratic, progressive, or social liberal values in the Western world. From the Christian perspective, it's the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of man. It's a conflict between Christ and his people versus the world, its ideologies, its proponents. It's 1 John 5:4. Those who are from this world versus those who are from God. 1 John 5:19, those who are from God and those who lie in the power of the evil one. The unsaved, even though they are not born again, will either generally submit to God's natural law or they will rebel against it. And we're in an age where the majority of the political and social leaders have decided to go full steam in the rebellion against the law of God. Psalm chapter 2. They say, let us take counsel against the Lord and against his Messiah. Let us cast their cords away from us. 200 years ago, the agnostic Benjamin Franklin said, as to Jesus of Nazareth, I think the system of morals and his religion as he left them to us is the best the world has ever saw or is likely to see. But today, the agnostics, the ungodly, are seeking to overthrow Christian teaching about gender, about family, about marriage, even biblical social and economic systems. This is the great apostasy prophesied in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I always try to remind Christians that this is a dispensation of God. In other ages, the unsaved had the same potential to rebel against God's natural law, but God's Holy Spirit restrained the wicked, preventing the wicked from being empowered and emboldened. And God did this for the sake of his people, to grow the church, evangelize the world. But as we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, in the last days, the restrainer is going to be taken out of the way, so that the ungodly will do that which has always been on their hearts. This is Romans chapter 1, God stepping back and giving people over to the lust of their hearts. This is Genesis 19, where God allowed the homosexuals to charge Lot's door right before he destroyed the city. And I always want to emphasize this truth, that this is a dispensation of God, lest Christians come to the wrong conclusions about our age. Assuming that the reason for the cultural slide is to be blamed on Christians, when the truth is we've never been in the majority. We've never had earthly power. God has been restraining the wicked all this time. Otherwise, there would never have been the Christianization of Europe or the Western world, the Reformation, or the great missionary movements in the 19th century. And let's understand, if God chose to do so tomorrow, God could put the fear of God in the hearts of every unsaved person. God could remove their motivations so that they passively roll over and let the Christians rule the country. You see, Christians in their assessment of history and culture underestimate the degree to which the Holy Spirit has been restraining sin in this world for the sake of his people. But God has a different plan in mind for the end of this age. Before God judges, he always removes his hand of restraint upon the wicked in order to expose the sin that resides in the heart. The potential for evil is always there. But God is now letting it come out of the closet. So do not fear in these last days. It's all part of the plan. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. God is sending upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false in order that they may be judged. Now, whether we're on the cusp of the apocalypse or not is not the point. The principle taught in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 can be applied to many local situations throughout the entire church age. So in the culture in which we live, we are now being bombarded every day with news stories about leftist policies and advancements, partially because the news media wants to stir up this conflict to sell papers, and also because it's really happening. The culture is transforming itself into Sodom, into Huxley's Brave New World, into Orwell's 1984. Now, I could give you many examples of the terrible news stories we've heard this week. I have a whole pile on my desk. But let me just mention this one. Story in the Christian Post, George Washington University to host Christian Privilege Workshop. A homosexual activist who is employed by George Washington University to promote inclusion initiatives is putting on a workshop that moves from what is all the rage, white privilege shaming, to now Christian privilege shaming. That Christians have undeserved privilege. And I hope you understand the game that's being played here. The left, having won the places of power in the culture, still wants to position themselves as victims of a homophobia culture. They want to double down on depicting Christian values as oppressive. In the ethics of relativism, this is the only basis they have against Christian moral standards. Christian values are wrong because apparently they oppress. And the white privilege narrative has been that white people are oppressors. But the real agenda was to use racism as a way to delegitimize the values of the past. This is critical race theory, that the values held to by the American founders were based upon racism. They were white people, so their values were for the advancement of white people. And therefore, those values which founded America ought to be delegitimized. So rather than hiding under the title of white racism, some on the left are coming out and admitting it's Christianity that's the problem. It's Christian privilege. It's Christian doctrine that's oppressive. And Christianity in the past and in the present has to be mocked and delegitimized as a way of justifying turning America into Sodom and Gomorrah. So, the higher education system in America has been taken over by ungodly secularists. We tend to call them leftists or progressives, but the Bible simply labels them as the wicked or the ungodly. Psalm chapter 1, the way of the wicked. And they want to fundamentally transform America into a secular pagan state. They have already succeeded in doing this gradually throughout the 20th century. But now they want to remove every last vestige of Christian values from the culture. And hence we have the culture war. So, let me just share a few points about the nature of this culture war, this great apostasy. And it's very important for Christians to understand the ins and outs of the cultural war, the motivations, the ideological foundations, the terminology. Not just so that we can be mature and discerning, but in order to disciple those we hope to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm finding that many are coming to Christ as a result of the culture war. They see the ideology, the lifestyle, the practices of the left, and they're awakened to the spiritual moral battle of this age. Case in point. The other day, I was listening to Steven Crowder, and he was reading a letter from a Saudi Muslim who came to Christ listening to Louder with Crowder. He wrote, "I was an atheist for a long time, since my early teens, mostly because of YouTubes and other online sources, wanting to research some parts of Islam that didn't set well with me at the time." This young man goes on to explain how he came to America from Saudi Arabia to escape the Saudi thought police. He writes, I got into politics during the election. At the time, I was very open-minded when it came to Christianity, mostly due to your show and the people it led me to, like Andrew Klavan and others. He writes that when he was in an ICE detention center, he read the Bible a lot and talked with some other Christian detainees. And after coming out of the detention center, he started going to church. To me, what was really remarkable about this testimony is the witness he received by listening to these conservative pundits on YouTube. Because Steven Crowder and Andrew Klavan are not your typical Christian programming. They are a gritty, almost irreverent mocking of the ungodliness of the left. And that hard-hitting venue opened this young man's eyes. Now, there are many Christians today who think that the way we're going to win the world is by soft-selling the culture war, by not talking about politics, by not talking about the culture. But the calling to come to Christ is a decision to leave the kingdom of Satan and go to the kingdom of Christ. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God. In order to do that, one must know what one is deciding against and what one is deciding for. As Peter preached at Pentecost, be saved from this perverse generation of people. Now, in order to respond to that invitation, it's kind of helpful to know something about the perverse generation one is leaving and the righteousness of the kingdom of Christ to which one is coming. 2 Chronicles 12:8, that they may learn the difference between my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. Satan's service. I think I could do a whole program starting in Genesis and ending in Revelation about how chronicling the culture is to be used in our evangelism. We must expose to people the face of Satan and show them the glories of Christ. So, here's some points about the culture to keep in mind. First, intersectionality. That's a big buzzword today. Because what the left is realizing is that there's an ideological unity in leftist causes. The feminists can agree with the homosexuals. The socialists can agree with the trannies. The BLM, Black Lives Matter, can agree with the SJWs, the social justice warriors, who can agree with the open border crowd, who can agree with the pro-choice movement. I just read someone the other day who claimed that an assault rifle ban is part of gay identity. So this is what's called intersectionality. So that at the last women's rally, there were signs supporting every possible leftist agenda. Communists for feminism. Illegal immigrants for feminism. Now, the left is doing this because they're trying to get power in numbers. But ideologically, when you abandon God, all morals, economic, sexual, social, begin to crumble. And everyone can find common ground in rebelling against the law of God. Because if you hate one, you hate all of them. Psalm 2:2. They take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Number two. In our current culture war, recognize that there is polarization. In the 1950s, and before, the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans, the left and the right, were not so great. Both parties were against communism, abortion, homosexuality, and both parties pretty much were for civil rights because the moral capital of Christianity permeated the entire country. But now that most of the population no longer attends church and the teaching of the Bible has been prohibited from public schools, there has arisen a whole new generation of pagans who see no reason why Christian morality should exist. There was an article in the Weekly Standard last month about the gridlock in Washington. Quote, many pundits believe that the problem with Congress is ideological polarization. Democrats are so far to the left, and Republicans are so far to the right that they cannot come to an agreement on even the most basic duties. Well, this is because there is no longer a unified worldview, and so the culture is divided. What fellowship has light with darkness? So understand that this polarization is not simply about stubborn people being unwilling to get along. This is the result of the world's increasing unwillingness to submit to Christian truth. Here's an article written by Peter Layden, a CEO of a California tech company, entitled "The Great Lesson of California in America's New Civil War: Why There Is No Bipartisan Way Forward at This Juncture in Our History. One Side Must Win." Quote, "The next time you call for bipartisan cooperation in America and longing for Republicans and Democrats to work side by side, stop it. Remember the great lesson of California, the harbinger of America's political future, and realize that today, such bipartisan cooperation simply can't be done. In this current period of American politics, at this juncture in our history, there is no way that a bipartisan path provides the way forward." And this particular author is all for the far left crushing the right. So why is this? Because Americans no longer have a common belief in the law of nature and nature's God. But one side's for God, the other side is in effect for Satan. And those are completely different universes. Matthew 12:30. "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." And so in our culture, there is less and less gray area. You have to choose sides. Number three, in the current culture war, there is growing hatred, a blatant hatred of God and his values. John 15, "If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. But because you're not of this world, but I chose you out of this world, because of this, the world hates you." And Matthew 24:9, "They will deliver you to tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name." Now, we tend to think that the left, the ungodly, simply hold to different policy positions than the Christians. But it's more than just politics. There is a real visceral hatred for God and Christianity in America. Maybe we don't fully appreciate this or see this because we're protected by the law for now. But if you've ever been around the left, it is not a love feast. There is a real hatred there. Now, right now, that hatred against God is directed against a hatred of certain values and titles. The ungodly hate God's moral law and his system of accountability. They want to tear off God's fetters, but they would never dare to directly say they're against Christ and Christianity. They're against conservatism, or they're against what they defined as fascism, or they're against the Republican Party. But mark my words, in the next few years, we're going to see the left directly protesting against God and Christianity, because that is the source of the worldview that they hate. And once the left is a little bit more empowered, they will expose their battle against God. Just recognize that in the culture war, this is not just about different political views. This is the age-old battle between God and Satan. Number four. Deception. Recognize the deception that's in this cultural war. Matthew 24:24, "False Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect." What has always alarmed Christians about that verse is that the satanic deception is described as being able to even fool us if it weren't for the fact that we are God's chosen people. This deception is going to be so powerful that everyone who is not born again will be taken in. I think we're already seeing what that deception is going to look like. The ungodly have been able to position themselves as the good. Therefore, acceptance, therefore, fairness, therefore, equality, therefore, love. They are positioning themselves as morally superior. While the Christians who believe that God has some rules are being successfully depicted as the haters of the good, the haters of the human race, the greedy capitalists, the homophobes, the xenophobes, the intolerant ones. What they hate about us is what they hate about God, that God has rules. And so the left is agreeing with Satan that God is the oppressor and that Satan is the liberator. And this is the ultimate deception, that autonomy from the authority of God is life and freedom. When is a train free? When it is on the track that it's made to ride on, or when it's off the track? A train is most free when it conforms to its design and to its creator. But in the culture war today, the deception is that freedom in life comes when you rebel against God. When you partake of the forbidden fruit, then your eyes will be open and you'll be as God. The same lie perpetrated in the garden. It's a calling of good evil and evil good. As Orwell's 1984, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. Or as the prophet Isaiah described in Isaiah 28, we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception. So those are just a few points to consider in our culture war, intersectionality, polarization, hatred, deception. There are probably 10 more points I can include, but because of time, I'm going to have to stop there. But by way of conclusion, in discussing the culture war, we need to continually remind ourselves and others that God is going to win the culture war for his people. And consider how often this is reiterated throughout the scriptures. Psalm 37, 34, when the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Psalm 91, 8, you will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Psalm 92, 9, for behold, your enemies will perish, and all who do iniquity will be scattered. Isaiah 41, 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are angry at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you, but you will not find them. Those who war with you will be as nothing and non-existent. And then even in the New Testament, all of the verses that remind us that Christ has won the victory. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, so that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. So one of our greatest witnesses in the culture war is our proclamation and our confidence that we are winning and will win the war through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:4, you're from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You've been listening to God and Country Radio, the radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Just go on to YouTube, check out the channel, and I always appreciate those who subscribe. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to discern the culture war. May we, as the Apostle Paul, fight the good fight of faith. And help us to always remember to proclaim the victory that is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.